You're listening to The Leonard Lopate Show on AM 820 and 93.9 WNYC.
A group home for at-risk teenagers becomes a setting for finding both love and oneself in Destin Daniel Cretton's new film, Short Term 12. It tells the story of Grace, played by Brie Larson, a young woman who works alongside her longtime boyfriend Mason, played by John Gallagher Jr., at a foster care facility. The film opens this coming Friday at the Landmark Sunshine and at the Eleanor Bunin Monroe Film Center at Lincoln Center. And I'm very pleased that it brings writer-director Destin Daniel Cretton and actress, singer, songwriter, and musician Brie Larson to our show today.
Hello. Wow, that's a
I gave you it all, right?
Movie.
Well, I didn't list all the films.
I also eat food, and I can dance, too. And
oh, yeah, I did mention the
dancing.
I can walk
on two legs and do lots of other things.
The film chronicles the lives of Grace and Mason, who are two of four line workers at a group home for teens. This is a foster home, right?
Yeah.
Isn't it based on your own experiences as a line worker?
Yeah, it was my first job out of college. I kind of stumbled into this job where I stayed for about a year and a half. And it was a crazy experience for me.
And what do line workers do?
The number one priority and job description is to keep a safe environment for the kids. A lot of the programs that the kids are on are being mapped out by sociologists, psychologists, and then we're just the 24-hour caretakers for them.
Almost like nurses or are you like the people in a college dorm who...
Yeah, I guess you're kind of like an RA of sorts, but we're trained. I guess in some ways, maybe you're like the medic. You're trained to handle whatever extreme situations pop up, and then hand those kids off to somebody who has more training than you do.
You modeled one of the characters in the film, Nate, the newest employee at the home, on yourself. What does Nate think of the home when he arrives?
Nate, I think, is as freaked out of the situation as I was, and it was. I mean, I still remember my first day. I kind of walked into the grounds giving myself a pep talk that I can do this, that I can be the guy who's going to really connect with these kids and show them that there's a better way to live or whatever. I don't know. I was fairly naive at the time, and I was awoken pretty quickly by one of the kids that I thought I was connecting with. When he something happened and he ended up throwing a plastic chair across the room that almost hit me, and that was when I was kind of jolted into the complications of the reality there.
Brie, didn't you and John shadow real line workers to get a sense of how actual group homes run?
That is true.
What was it like?
Eye-opening, to say the very least. Extremely informative to not only playing Grace in this film, but just to my life. In general, I learned just some incredible words of wisdom from the woman that I was shadowing in particular, and was really struck by, in particular, how not how damaged these kids were, but actually how undamaged they were. And I was very inspired by the human spirit and its ability to overcome certain traumas and troubles.
Because some of these kids have felt unloved for most of their lives.
I mean, it's even beyond that. It's the amount of these stories that you hear, your brain almost can't even register them because you've never heard anything like it. Those are things that you read in books. You don't necessarily hear as realities for people.
You mean the abuse that some of them go through?
Yeah, the abuse and that parents can just not have a connection to their child.
People must have recognized you from your films and TV work. You have been out there for a while. And so has John Gallagher. In fact, most recently, he's been in Aaron Sorkin's The Newsroom. Did that make things harder for you?
What?
Or did they recognize you?
Who?
Like while you were
working? Oh, while I was in the facility.
You're seeing these kids and they're saying, hey, 21 Jump Street.
Oh, no.
Or
no.
The United States of Tara.
No.
No?
I don't think they had any idea.
Still able to live a relatively anonymous life?
Yes, I enjoy it. That's part of it. I just change my hair a lot. I even have people that haven't friends that haven't seen me for a while and don't recognize me because I'm changing constantly. It's part of the game.
Didn't Destin send you and John out on a faux dinner date before you began filming?
Yes.
That's one way of overcoming the chemistry problem, right?
Yeah, it also just got us communicating really very quickly, which is a huge part of making something like a film. It takes a large amount of communication, and it's a lot of people involved on one giant art project, and that's not usually how an art project works. So it takes feeling comfortable being able to expose yourself and to throw ideas out without feeling like it's an unsafe place to do so. So we had this dinner where Destin had this envelope that he gave us with little conversation starters, and so it got us talking about some of the things that I think were the questions that popped up in Destin's head when he was first working there, and then specific questions about just the mythology about those the characters that we played.
So, Destin, you were hoping that they would develop a sense of a backstory of their relationship?
Yeah, I was trying to, I guess, just give them something. I had no idea if it was going to work, but I also know personally that I wish I had a little grab bag of conversation starters just in my everyday life, so I was hoping that that might kick off them, discussing ideas that are not necessarily usually things you would want to discuss on a first faux date. So some of the questions were revolving around, you know, memories from their own childhood, positive and negative, and also things that that they feel like might have been left behind from their parents and how they feel like they would want to be a parent at one day.
Although Bree's character has the kinds of memories of her childhood that she probably wouldn't want to talk about on a first date.
Yeah, exactly.
Right.
But that's why I'm playing a character. This is not a documentary.
But since, Bree, since both of you also sing, did that help with the chemistry? I mean, we have...
Yeah, we
John
sang
has,
to each other
been in
constantly.
Spring Awakening.
We serenaded and each other on a daily basis.
Well, you could write songs together.
No. We were just making a movie together.
But there was a strange amount of singers on our set. There, because Caitlin also sang, and, mm-hmm. and
Caitlin, who plays a troubled teen,
yeah.
that
yeah.
Mm-hmm. You wind up spending a lot of time yeah. with, hoping to save.
Yeah, it's. I mean, music is always a great way for people to connect with one another. I think everybody individually had their little playlists and their iPods going, and we share and still do share each the music that we're all writing. But none of us ever like busted out the old guitar and did a little campfire tune on set, but
unfortunately,
we did things like it. We had our own kumbayas.
Yeah.
My guests are Bree Larson, and am I mispronouncing your last name?
No.
Destin Daniel Cretton.
Perfect.
Sounds beautiful, actually.
Yes.
The director of a film called Short Term 12, which opens this Friday in a number of theaters. This was originally shot as a 20-minute short, wasn't it, called Short Term 12?
Yeah, that was my thesis project at San Diego State University.
What does the title refer to?
It actually refers to nothing, really. I mean, nothing.
But you must have liked it enough to name two films after it.
I mean, it's nothing that there's no hidden meaning to it. It's simply one of the facilities like this that I'm used to in the system that I'm used to. There are short-term facilities and long-term ones. And some of them are called short-term 12. Some of them are, there are long-term 12s, there are long-term 14s, short-term 12s.
What do the numbers 14s. Refer to, months?
The numbers refer to the level of care that the kids need. So 12 is the second to highest, mm-hmm. 14 being the highest.
When did you realize that you could turn that into a feature?
It was... A lot of it had to do with the response to the short, and that was my first clue into how universal a lot of the themes were. And, from hearing just the pitch of this idea, it sounds like a very small movie about things that are hard to relate to. But I found just through the short film that that these themes and questions were things that people were relating to anytime I took it to a festival. And so that was the initial inspiration for wanting to explore it more into a feature.
Although you've changed it a bit, the short featured a male lead supervisor named Denim. That's the role Bree is playing now?
I suppose.
Not really. I mean, she's not playing that role. I think when I first started writing it, it just wasn't working trying to stretch the same characters out. And once I changed the main character to a female, everything changed.
Well, Bree, part of the tension that for your character is she's the voice of reason for the teenagers in the home, but she has this dark past of her own, and she's having difficulty coming to terms with it. But that gives her a certain amount of insight into some of the troubled teens that she's working with?
I think she becomes surprisingly relatable to these kids, especially in a situation where she is, in a lot of ways, their day-to-day, moment-to-moment guide. But in that world, the thing that I observed, not that I will say I'm not an expert on it, but the thing that I did observe is that the kids are constantly trying to kind of push the buttons of the staff that they're working with to see if they're going to leave just like everybody else that they know has. So there is a surprise, I think, to them every time, because in their mind she's a figure to push against. And then when she has her own past that is very relatable to their own, I think it changes their perspective of her. And in a way, they respect her.
On the other hand, Grace finds it rather difficult to get through to Jaden. She keeps on doing the things that you would think would be appreciated and not appreciated.
Yeah.
Now, you started working when you were very young. Do you find it easier to relate to kids who haven't had typical childhoods?
I do relate to the kids that were in this film very much so, because they're such hard workers and they have a passion that is beyond their years and an understanding of the human condition that's beyond their years, it seems. I know what that feels like when you want to be an artist, and it doesn't really make that much sense when you are, you know, I think we had 13 to 15-year-olds on this set. I know what that feels like, especially when you can't drive and you can't do it alone and you're relying on others, but it's a drive that's beyond you. I also knew very clearly how influential the people that were older than me on those sets were. And I could see very simply what worked and what didn't, and what looked nice and what didn't, and not just about the performance, but about the attitude on set and the teamwork that goes along with making a film.
But you've now made the transition. You were the kid who was relating to the adults in your earlier work, and now you're the adult who's trying to relate to the kids.
Yeah, so the film does kind of transfer over in some ways. It mirrors itself.
Now, Destin, many of the children in the film were played by unknowns.
Yeah.
Were they all actors?
They were all actors of very varying experience levels. I honestly cannot wait for people to see those kids' performances. They're pretty, we're all extremely blown away every day by the things that they were doing.
So how do you go through a casting process in something like this? A lot of kids could play troubled, can't they?
You'd be
it's
surprised.
Kind of natural.
No, I mean, I don't think so. Not honestly.
No, oh, it was. You should have got me when I was a kid.
But you're not as willing to expose those things. That's the difference.
There is something very special about these kids and in their instincts to not show off. And I think that's something that, I mean, I look at videos of myself when I was a kid, and all I wanted to do was show off and show, you know, be as big as possible. And all of these kids, when they're performing, they're able to really just feel that moment and not try to squeeze a tear out of their eye or be as loud as they possibly could. They were just their instincts were very real and authentic, which was such a blessing for me.
And the opposite of what the character, they were in reality the opposite in most cases of what their characters were.
Yeah, they weren't, none of the kids were playing themselves. They were all
exactly
there, very opposite.
But one of the kids, Keith Stanfield, was in the short film as well.
Yeah.
Playing pretty much the same character?
Similar. I mean, we kind of see the name change from Mark to Marcus, and those two letters, I think, created a whole different character.
Now, Bree, you've done a lot of comedy in your career. Listeners will probably know you from things like The United States of Tara, which is a rather dark comedy. Did you find moments of comedy within the dark plot of Short Term 12?
Yeah, that's part of the reality of the system, and something that John and I learned when we were shadowing, is to keep it light was One of the words of wisdom we got because of the trauma that these kids have been through and their inability at times to express those sort of darker emotions that are swirling around inside of them, having humor and creating this sort of back and forth banter is a really important aspect of communication. And our set as well was just really fun and full of laughter. So it became easy to find those moments of levity.
Was that also true in the group home you worked at?
Yeah, humor was necessary. It was a part of survival, I think, for everybody, for the kids and for the staff. There was, you know, I was exposed to some of the most traumatic things that I've ever seen or experienced, but I was also had moments of intense laughter and moments of sheer joy and hope that. And in this movie, we were all trying to be as authentic about the tragic parts as we were about the hopeful and comedic moments.
And at that time, did you think that you might go into film, or were you unsure of what you would do with your life?
I'm still unsure of what I'm going to do with my life. At the time, I loved making movies, but I did not have the guts to call myself a filmmaker. And I was really just trying to survive my days there. You know, I wasn't thinking like that this could be a great story one day. It wasn't until 3 years later, looking back, that I was able to kind of organize those thoughts.
Bree, didn't you write and direct a short film of your own called The Arm?
I did. I did it with two girlfriends of mine, Sarah Ramos and Jesse Ennis.
And it won a prize for Best Comedic Storytelling at last year's Sundance Film Festival. Congratulations.
Thank you.
What was it about?
It's about text messaging, actually. Dark comedy about text messaging.
And that's your directorial debut, as they say?
That was. And then I did a short after that with a friend named Dustin Bowser that premiered at South by Southwest at the same time as Short Term 12. So it was a really wonderful, felt like the two worlds, the two halves of my brain colliding.
Well, they say when in Hollywood, if you ask people what they want to do, no matter
how yes, I want to direct.
I want to direct. Is that true of you?
I mean, I want to do lots of things. I want to parasail, and I want to be a better dancer, and I don't know. I want to know how to make al dente pasta perfect. I'm just a curious person.
And do more recordings, I assume.
Sure, that's involved. I don't know. I don't know what I want to do. We'll see.
And Destin,
yes.
Now that you have drawn from an important time in your life to make this feature film, are there other things that you've done that you can make into other films?
I've got a pretty full life. I'm not sure what I'm going to do next, but I'm excited about the thing that I'm writing right now, and I'm not in a huge rush to tear into the next thing.
Well, the response to this film so far has been pretty good, so I assume that makes it a lot easier to get your next project going.
Yeah, well, I hope so. We'll see.
That's the hope, but we don't know. The movie hasn't come out yet, so hopefully people go see it.
And we thank you both for being on our show. Destin Daniel Cretton, Bree Larson. The film Short Term 12 opens this coming Friday at the Landmark Sunshine on Houston Street and the Eleanor Bunin Monroe Film Center at Lincoln Center. It's been a pleasure.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.